Slips of the tongue happen all of the time. Most of the time we just don't notice them happening. For example, if you listen very carefully to a news reader, not actually listening to what they're saying, you will quite often find that they've made small slips of the tongue which tell you that something that you think they should have said and which was probably on their auto cue didn't get said and something else got said instead. Freud thought that slips of the tongue were the result of repressed desires, repressed wishes, interfering with what it was you wanted to say, so that the repressed desires came to the fore. Let me give you an example. George W. Bush, addressing a convention of teachers, began right at the beginning of what he wanted to say by saying, well, I think he wanted to say, I want to thank all teachers. George Bush always devoiced his final S's. I want to thank all teachers. And what he said was, I want to spank all teachers. For George, Freud would say, teachers probably spanked him and he wanted to get his own back. I want to look at a set of slips of the tongue which are involved in syntax and which show that while it may be that you have repressed desires, repressed wishes, and that you want to spank all teachers, nevertheless, there are other things at play as well. Let's take a case like, it's been a hard journey to hoe. These are all real examples. It's been a hard journey to hoe. What's going on here? Perhaps the person wanted to say it's been a hard road to hoe, or a hard row to hoe, depending on how agricultural you are with the hoe, or it's been a hard journey. Both of those say more or less the same thing, but they use different words to say it, different expressions. Let's take a second example. The weather could play a factor. Now, there's nothing grammatically wrong with that, but it sounds strange. Perhaps the person wished to say either the weather could play a part or the weather could be a factor. And these two things have got blended together. So if we take both of those cases, a hard road to hoe and a hard journey, what we have is a single intention, but two different ways of possibly carrying it out, both of which are available to the speaker, and they've blended them together. They've mixed them together. Let's look at another case. He got a real boost in the arm. Well, the normal expression is he got a real shot in the arm. To get a real shot in the arm is to get a boost. So the word boost is actually what the person wanted to say. Someone got a boost. And they could have said either he got a real shot in the arm or he got a real boost. So a single intention, but two different ways of saying the same thing. Here's one that's much more obvious and where the result is really quite ungrammatical. I want to be up frank with you. I want to be up frank with you. The expression should have been, I want to be up front with you, which is the same as saying, I want to be frank with you. So we have two different ways of saying the same thing. So, quite differently from Freud's explanation, there are a lot of cases that suggest that speakers have just a single intention and they muck up two different ways of saying the same thing. Those aren't the only kind of speech errors, but they certainly turn up. Here's another one. This country has badly aided need. Hang on. Badly needed aid. Badly needed aid, not badly aided need. What's happened is two words have just been reversed. They've been flicked around. They're in the wrong order. Those errors turn up as well. Speech errors are a fascinating way of looking at the way in which the brain works, and they show that the brain sometimes doesn't work absolutely accurately. Sometimes it lets you down by making it appear that you don't know what you're talking about, or giving you two different ways of doing what you're talking about, but messing them up.